Blog Talk listeners,
Blog
this
Talk
is Jenny
Radio.
Life, politics, us. It's time to talk with Jenny Coco here about it all. Now here's your host, Jenny Coco here. There'll be no darkness
tonight. Hello, Blog Talk listeners. This is Jenny Coco here, signing on to my radio show late. That is not good. You can't be doing that, trying to put on a Blog Talk radio show. But yet, here I am, logging in a little bit late today. Please forgive me for not being on time. I just kind of lost track of time. But thank you for listening in. Those of you who are listening in, let me give you my radio call-in number. Let's see if I can pull it up. Okay, that telephone number is 646-478-0805. Again, that number is 646-478-0805. And today our topic is going to be Rush Limbaugh. Now, I wasn't going to talk about this. I wasn't going to talk about the economic stimulus package again or anything political this week because we talked about the economic stimulus package last week. And I had a guest on last week, James the Conservative, and we had a very interesting and very informative discussion about the economic stimulus package and what it was going to mean for us common folk, you know, for those of us making that less than that $250,000 per year. However, because of the comments made by Mr. Limbaugh at the Conservative Political Action Conference over the weekend in Washington, I just felt that I wanted to comment on that a little bit, if it's all right. Now, I had an article that I was looking at earlier that spoke about Mr. Limbaugh's visit at the conference and some of the comments that he made. And I want to pull that up right quick and give you a brief rundown. If you hadn't seen it on the news, and they've been playing it all weekend or all morning, today, Sunday morning. But in case you haven't heard some of the things that was said by Mr. Limbaugh, let me run down some of the high points of his comments. And let me pull that up right quick. Let's see here if I can pull that up. We just want to give you a little rundown. We're not going to tell you everything. I'm not going to just read the whole speech verbatim, but I did want to touch on some of the main points that Limbaugh talked about. All right. I'm going to read a portion of an article or a little tidbit from an article from the StarTribune.com. And the title of the article is White House Chief of Staff Casts Radio Host Rush Limbaugh as Top Republican Party Spokesman. And the article says that President Barack Obama's Chief of Staff says talk show personality Rush Limbaugh is a top figure in the Republican Party. Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel says Limbaugh is the intellectual force of the GOP. Emanuel says Republicans now have to live with that choice. Limbaugh gave a major speech at the Conservative Political Action Committee meeting this weekend in Washington. Limbaugh says it's fine for Republicans to criticize Obama's plans and says Republicans must return to their core beliefs. Limbaugh has been a vocal critic of Obama's, saying he hopes the new president's plans fail. Yes, yes. In case you hadn't heard about that, yes, Rush Limbaugh has said very publicly that he hopes that Barack's plan fails. He does not want this economic stimulus package to do us any good. He wants Barack to fall flat on his face. Now, he does go into more detail at the conference that he that they were at this weekend. He did go into more detail about what he meant, he says, by those comments. So we'll touch on that in a minute. But the rest of this article says that liberal and labor groups have broadcast ads citing Limbaugh as a driving force inside the GOP. Emanuel spoke on CBS, Face the Nation. Okay, so basically what the Democrats are doing now, it seems, is they are nailing the GOP to the wall and basically saying, okay, you guys, okay, this guy is speaking for you now. Rush Limbaugh is your spokesperson. Okay, fine, that's fine with us. We love it. We love it. Go ahead and accept Rush Limbaugh as your spokesperson. We would be happy to acknowledge that for you. And they're running this ad campaign now saying that Rush Limbaugh is now the spokesperson, and he represents the entire GOP. This is the poster child for the GOP, Rush Limbaugh. And if you know anything about Rush Limbaugh, you know that he's constantly putting his foot in his mouth. You know that he is way over the top. He is extreme right-wing and basically could absolutely never in life say anything positive or anything good about a liberal or a Democrat. He doesn't like Barack Obama. He very openly does not like Barack Obama. And will say so in a heartbeat. And will, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, will say anything as long as it is pro-conservative and anti-liberal. It doesn't matter if it made absolutely zero sense. However, now I will admit that over the weekend with this conference that went on, and the way he spoke at the conference, a lot of people, even those who are alleged liberals, said that they listened to Rush speak and they agreed with some of the stuff that he said. Now, let me see if I can find some more points on some more things that Rush was talking about in the conference this weekend. Okay, let me quote something that he said. Here it says, we conservatives have not done a good enough job of just laying out basically who we are, because we make the mistake of assuming that people know. What they know is largely incorrect based on the way we're portrayed in pop culture, in the drive-by media, by the Democratic Party. Okay, and of course he made this comment, and the mostly young audience is what they say. It says mostly young people that was in the audience stood up and gave him a round of applause. Now, next he says, we want every American to be the best he or she chooses to be. We recognize that we are all individuals. We love and revere our founding documents, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. We believe that the preamble of the Constitution contains an inarguable truth, that we are all endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. Applause, applause, applause. Okay. That all sounds good. That all sounds good. But if you ever listen to Rush Limbaugh on his radio show, when he's not on C-SPAN, when he's not being, videoed or recorded by, nationally syndicated television and or international radio or television, when you see him or when you listen to him on his radio show, the man is crazy. He really is. He will say anything. Most Republicans do not want Rush Limbaugh to be their spokesperson. They do not, because they know that eventually he's going to go to his little radio show. He's going to say something that's going to be determined as, that's going to be deemed as extremist and extreme, maybe even racist, borderline racist. This man is definitely not someone that you would want representing any party, which is exactly why the Democrats or some key Democrats want to make him the spokesperson for the Republican Party, because it would be a disaster, of course, for the Republican Party. But anyway, I just wanted to know if there were any people out there that listened to Russ's speech in its entirety and found any of it agreeable? Did you listen to it, and did you find anything that he had to say agreeable? Okay, and I will admit that there was a couple of things that he said, and I honestly do believe that the man is talking out of the side of his neck. You know, I'm familiar with Rush Limbaugh. I'm familiar enough with Rush Limbaugh to know that most of the time the man is talking out of the side of his neck. But I have to agree that some of the things that he did say during this speech did make some sense. Now, let me see if I can find one of the comments that I will admit that I agree with. I don't even believe really completely in my heart of hearts that he believes it himself. Sure, it got applause. It got a standing ovation, what have you. But he's much more extreme than the words he was saying in this speech. But let's look at a couple of other things that he said. Okay. Well, the opinion of a CNN political editor, Mark Preston, was that Rush played to his crowd here. And this crowd is now energized, something we haven't seen from Republicans, certainly not conservatives, since the November election. Okay, so they're trying to pull a Barack, I guess. They're trying to get the youth of the conservative Republican Party to become energized and to, in Russia's words, take back this country, because apparently we're going down in flames because the Democrats are now in power and they're going to take this country and run it into the ground. And I will say this, the last time Democrats were in power, complete power, including with the president that was a Democrat, that was Bill Clinton, if I recall correctly. And when Bill Clinton was president, I don't recall that we had a whole lot of problems. I don't recall this country being run into the ground. In fact, I recall we had some of the best numbers when it came to unemployment, some of the lowest numbers, some of the highest economic growth that we had had in years during Clinton's administration. Then we get to the Bush administration, and it all goes to, excuse my language, shit. That's why I have a mature label on my show, because I will cuss occasionally. And you will never hear Rush Limbaugh say that. You will never hear him admit to that. You will never hear him say anything like that. But it is true. Do your research. It is true. Okay, let's see if I can find another quote from Mr. Limbaugh's interesting speech. Okay, it says here that Limbaugh praised Obama as one of the most gifted politicians he has seen, but said, and I quote, "It just breaks my heart that he does not use these extraordinary talents and gifts to motivate and inspire the American people to the best they can be. He's doing just the opposite." Huh? What? What are you talking about, doing the opposite? I have not seen young people, African Americans, so inspired and so motivated by any politician ever in my life. And I'm not that old, but I've heard this countless times from people who have followed politics their whole life, who are older than me, far older, and they have never seen anything like it. The inspiration, the pride, the involvement that young people, black people have been in this last election is unprecedented. So what is Rush smoking right here? So this is definitely not one of the things that I would agree with. And let's see what else we have here. It says Limbaugh also dismissed the notion of bipartisanship as a false premise. Of course. You cannot be bipartisan in somebody's mind. And Rush, if there was true bipartisanship in this political arena, if there was true bipartisanship, Rush Limbaugh would be out of a job. Rush Limbaugh would lose his freaking mind as well as his show. He wouldn't have nothing to scream and holler about if Republicans and Democrats began working together. Then he wouldn't be able to blame the Republicans for or the Democrats for everything. The Republicans, if they got involved and the Democrats got involved together and worked together on some stuff, oh my gosh, Rush would have to, you know, take that big, you know, black suit and, you know, go and take it back to the store. Hopefully he's still got a tag in it. He would lose his shirt. He would lose his mind as well as his show, as well as his audience. And he would just not have anything to bitch and talk about. He wouldn't have anything to talk about. So, of course, he's against bipartisanship. It doesn't exist in his world. It can't exist, not if he's going to continue to be a very highly recognized radio talk show host. Okay, and it says here, given the diverging views of the Democratic and Republican parties on a variety of issues, including the recent $787 billion stimulus package signed by Obama, bipartisanship occurs only after one other result, and that is victory. Okay. So basically, I guess he's saying that after the Democrats won, now they want to be bipartisan. When they were in the minority and when they didn't have the power or the control, they didn't want to have anything to do with bipartisanship. Well, let's think on that for a moment. Is that true? Probably. But whether the olive branch or the white flag is being waved or the olive branch is being extended, you know, when you're in power or out of power, I think it should be something that's still, you know, accepted and embraced. It's not something that should be completely overlooked. But I do agree that it's probably the person that's got all of the power that's saying, okay, let's be friends, let's be cool, let's work together and see what we can accomplish here. It's usually the person that's in power. So I agree with that, or the party that's in power. Okay, he also goes on to say, that what Democrats mean is we check our core principles at the door when they want to be bipartisan. Is that we check our core principles at the door, come in, let them run the show, and then agree with them. Well, isn't that the same thing that Republicans mean when they want to talk about being bipartisan? They don't want to give up any of the things, any of their talking points whenever they have ideas, you know. They want to be able to say that they're right and that these are our ideas and you need to agree with us. I can't imagine them giving over all of their power if they had the opportunity to present something that, you know, they created. For instance, if John McCain's stimulus package had have been, you know, seriously looked at, which it was not, but if it had been, I cannot imagine that they would have wanted the Democrats to come in and try to change everything, you know, and add this and add that. No, they wouldn't. So, you know, that's something that's, you know, true in the Republican Party as well. I'm just going to talk about one more thing where this is concerned, and then I'm going to move on to something else. So Rush says also, so who are Republican leaders listening to? I'm sorry, that's not Rush saying that. You have to forgive me. I'm reading an article here. I'm trying to get some of the main points of Rush's speech. But that's generally it. But I will also end this little tirade of mine with one quote that had been repeated time and time again this morning as I was watching CNN this morning. Apparently, the headline to Rush's little speech was that he said, and I'm not going to quote because I don't remember the exact quote, but I'll just give you the gist of it. He said that what Barack has done with this economic stimulus plan is not change, it certainly is not hope, and it is not it's something along those lines. I'm sorry. I should have this in front of me. But because I'm running late, of course, I don't have any of this. But basically, he's just saying, you know, talking about Barack's whole thing about change we can believe in, stating that this plan is nothing new. Oh, yeah, that's what he said. He said it's not new, it's not change, and it certainly does not give hope. And he got a standing ovation to that as well. And I guess I just have to say that you should listen to this speech in its entirety. If you haven't, listen to it in its entirety. And if you do listen to the speech in its entirety, you might find that some of the things you agree with and maybe some of the things, of course, most of it, if you're a liberal like myself, you won't agree with. But there might be a couple of talking points that you'll go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But for the most part, I will sum up Rush's speech as a conservative political action conference over the weekend as more of the same conservative rhetoric, more of the same Rush Limbaugh BS. And I think it's really funny and brilliant that the Democrats are now making him be the spokesperson for the Republican Party. And let's see how the Republicans either embrace him or back away. I think that'll be really interesting to see. Now, I'm going to take a break for just a moment while I gather myself, because I am a little bit frazzled, a little bit rattled, because I wasn't quite ready when I came on to the show, because I was taking care of some business here at home and not really preparing for the show like I should have been. So I'm just going to take a break and see if I can get my notes together, and we will be right back after this break. Don't go away. All right. I really love that song. That is a gorgeous song. And that was Ooh Girl. If you're not familiar with that song, that's Rafael Sadiq that sings that right there. We have 10 minutes left in the show, about 10 minutes left. And I wanted to touch on a little bit of, and I know I'm talking about the same stuff, but you know what? It's because I'm not prepared this time around like I should be. But I wanted to touch on a little bit Rihanna story. Yes, 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 the whole Rihanna and Chris Brown thing. And the only reason that I wanted to speak on it again today is because there is an article in the March 2nd, 2009 issue of People magazine, and there's a picture of Rihanna on the cover, and it says, "Trouble with Chris Brown, Rihanna's Nightmare. Arguments, jealousy, and hotel room trashing. What led to the violence and how she's coping?" And inside People magazine, it says that this is their untold story. And immaturity, jealousy, fame, as Rihanna heals her bruises and broken heart, family and friends open up about what went wrong in the R&B couple's relationship. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing verbatim, but I'm just going to give you the little gist of it, and it's very interesting. It starts out with, it was Valentine's Day and 6 days before his daughter's 21st birthday. Ronald Fenty was speaking not of happiness but of heartache as the part-time fashion designer sold hearts, teddy bears, and roses in Bridgetown, Barbados. He was still processing the news that his daughter, Rihanna, had been allegedly beaten by her boyfriend, Chris Brown, on February 8th in Los Angeles. "I didn't believe it," he told People. "You think you know somebody, but you really don't." Fenty, 55, confirms Rihanna had returned to Barbados to recuperate and spend time with her girlfriends and was still bruised when he saw her on February 12th. A relative says, "I think she's just trying to work it out in her mind right now. I don't think she's angry yet, but she's definitely very sad." Adds Fenty, "She will be all right. She just feels like what happened." Okay, and the article goes on, I think, with just speaking to, you know, the father and different people, and there's several pictures dating back to 2005. Wow, they've been together since 2005. That's a long time for, you know, kids that young. That's almost like a marriage, you know. That's longer than a lot of Hollywood marriages. And that really is a long time if they were together since 2005. And there's even a picture of them in the SUV, obviously before the big fight went down. It's a picture of them riding in the SUV, and the notation by the picture states, it says, "A fight during this ride allegedly turned violent. We're finding out he wasn't what we thought he was," says a Rihanna family member. And I don't want to, you know, spend the next few minutes of my show attacking Chris Brown, but I did want to say something that I didn't really touch on in my last show when I spoke about the whole Chris Brown Rihanna thing. And I lost my, you know, train of thought at that time. But I was going to say, before I brought my caller into it, my guest into it last week, I was going to say that it really is horrible when a man attacks a woman. Always horrible, always horrible. But I will say this to you young girls out there and to you young women who get involved with, you know, a man and think that because he's a man and you're a woman, that if you get emotional and you start raging out, that it's okay for you to hit the man or attack the man just because you're a woman and he's a man and you can do that and he's not supposed to touch you. No, ladies. No, my young lady, do not do that. And I say this because you don't really know what a man is capable of until you go there with him. Now, you might think you have the most wonderful, genteel man on the planet. You might think he would never put his hands on you. Ever would he dream of touching you in a manner other than with complete love. And then he might shock you and, you know, show you exactly, you know, what type of individual he is. And my thing is that it's just not wise to even put your hands on another individual, whether you are a female or a male. Some girls, some women, think that they can do that because they are women. I have seen it many times in my years on, you know, earth. I've seen women, you know, go off on guys and then start slapping and biting and kicking, and the guy is just trying to hold them off, and he's trying to be good. He's trying to be nice, but the woman is really pushing the buttons. And of course, again, I will say it is never okay for a man to hit a woman. But I remember this once when I was a young girl, and I saw this girl basically, and I will say she attacked her boyfriend. I mean, she attacked him. And while, you know, she was attacking him, he was basically just kind of, you know, shocked and standing there, you know, not sure what to do, how to handle it. And she was just going off. And in one fell swoop, when he was, you know, when he was done being stunned, he just gave her one good sock. I mean, it wasn't even a slap. It was a sock. Stunned the crap out of her. Stunned the crap out of her. All she could do was bend over and hold her mouth. He was stunned. She was stunned. And you could tell that he didn't really think he was going to do that or mean to do that, but in that moment, you know, there was really not a whole lot, you know, else that can be said about it. Now, was he wrong? Yes, he was wrong. He should not have hit her, especially not like that, because he knocked the crap out of her. But again, the way that she was coming at him, like a little wildcat, you know, she was like a cougar, you know, scratching and biting and kicking and going on, and he just had had enough. He just, you know, snapped. Am I saying that that's what happened with Chris Brown? I don't know. I don't know what happened with Chris Brown. All I know is that we've all heard the stories. We've all heard the thing about Rihanna started it, and she was hidden first, and she was doing this, doing that. She's young. He's young. Yes, is this going to mess him up for a while? Yes, it's going to mess him up for a while. Is this going to be the end of his career? Maybe for a little while. I don't think forever, though. He'll never be looked at as the same innocent, sweet little boy anymore. He's definitely going to have to come up with something different. But I just put it like this. If R. Kelly can overcome the stuff that he's overcome, then I think Chris can, too. That's all I can say about that. Well, all right. That's going to be my show for today. We're about to bounce on out of here. Thank you for tuning in. Didn't have any guests today, but hopefully we'll be a little bit more ready and organized next week. When we come on the air, I'll do a lot more research next time and have a much better prepared show next week. So thanks again for tuning in, and have a good evening. Peace out.